pen to paper. So all of those trades, all of those free agent signings will become official in the next hour or so here. So the big trades we're talking about, we saw Mac Jones to the Jaguars. That becomes official today at 4 p.m. Brian Burns to the Giants. Jerry Jeudy to the Browns. Joe Mixon to the Texans. I really like that one. I mean, the Texans were in on Saquon Barkley. Like I talked about, I think that was kind of their plan A. Obviously, Barkley decides to go to Philadelphia. That's a great fit over there. So the Texans kind of zag and go with Joe Mixon from Cincinnati. So I like that move. Deontay Johnson, we'll get into that. That happened after I signed off last night. Carlton Davis goes to the Lions. So all those trades that we've talked about now become official as the new league year has begun. That was at 4 p.m. today. We still have some new news in the world of the NFL offseason. Today, the Chargers announced that they're getting rid of Mike Williams. After seven seasons, Mike Williams and the Chargers are no more. The Chargers are releasing Williams. That'll move $20 million of cap space for the Chargers. Williams last year tore his ACL in September. Did not see a whole lot of him and a big cap hit. So he is done in L.A., and now he'll become a unrestricted free agent, joining a big class of wide receivers. There was speculation as to what the Chargers would do with the big cap hit of Khalil Mack. They have announced that Mack will stay. They're not going to release him. They're going to restructure his deal to create some salary cap space. So in L.A., Mike Williams leaves. Khalil Mack is staying in L.A. Joey Bosa, someone over there to keep your eye on as well, as he has a ginormous cap hit, and the Chargers try to get out of their kind of cap hell that they kind of put themselves in. More trades here in the NFL. We had a trade out of the Texans trading defensive tackle Malik Collins to the 49ers. The 49ers in return send a seventh-round pick. We also saw the Ravens trading their starting right tackle Morgan Moses and pick number 134 to the Jets. In return, the Jets send pick number 112 and pick number 218 back to the Ravens. Moses started all 16 games for the Jets in 2021, and now he will return home to New York after 2 years in Baltimore. So the Jets trying to upgrade their offensive line as they expect a healthy Aaron Rodgers for this upcoming 2023 season. The Ravens, worth noting, while they did have that big signing of Derrick Henry, very notable, they've lost a lot of talent on what was the AFC's best team last year. So keep an eye on that. They've lost a good amount of talent. I'll get into that. Patrick Queen, when we get into free agents here in a second, was one that they lost as well. Another trade that we saw yesterday, the Steelers sent wide receiver Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers. The trade was Deontay Johnson and pick number 240 to the Panthers. The Steelers, in return, get Dante Jackson, cornerback Dante Jackson, in pick number 178. Apparently, there was rumors that Deontay Johnson, the Steelers thought that Johnson was a bad influence on George Pickens. Both those guys had been kind of the two big diva wide receivers last year making noise. Now Deontay Johnson headed to Carolina, where Bryce Young gets a new weapon in a very still young Deontay Johnson still very talented Deontay Johnson as well. So Deontay Johnson headed to Carolina. In return, Dante Jackson, a cornerback, headed to Pittsburgh. So all those trades become official. As I mentioned, new league year opens up today, 4 p.m., about 10 minutes ago. After I signed off last night, we did see some more big signings across the NFL. Marcus Mariota signed with the Commanders. I didn't really understand that one all that much. He signed a one-year, $6 million contract to play with the Washington Commanders, which is really interesting to me. The Commanders own the second pick in the NFL draft. They already have Sam Howell on a rookie contract. You would kind of expect that they're going to bring in a quarterback. That's been the ongoing narrative, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May is yet to be seen. But the thinking was Sam Howell would be the backup and compete with the rookie that they brought in, and then it would pave the way for whether it was Drake May or Daniels. So the addition of Marcus Mariota to Washington, to me and a lot of others online, doesn't really make sense. Jameis Winston was another one that we touched on quickly. Jameis Winston headed from New Orleans to Cleveland. I like this sign for the Cleveland Browns. We saw last year, Deshaun Watson just isn't that dependable. So having a good backup behind him is very important. And Jameis Winston, certainly one of the best backups in the business. Shaq Barrett headed to Miami to join the Miami Dolphins. On that defense, he heads from Tampa Bay to Miami. Last year, he had 52 total sacks and 4.5 sacks. So the Dolphins, who have lost a good amount of pieces on that defense, go out and add the veteran linebacker from Tampa Bay. We mentioned yesterday Darnell Mooney signing with the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons revamping that offense, giving new quarterback Kirk Cousins yet another weapon. Derrick Henry, as I mentioned, headed to the Ravens. One of those deals that I really, really like for the Baltimore Ravens. But as I mentioned, they did lose a big piece. Patrick Queen last year, who had 133 tackles, is headed to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That one's got a sting, man. Headed to an in-division rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Queen gets a 3-year, $41 million contract. Drew Lock, backup quarterback to Geno Smith in Seattle, is headed to New York to the Giants. Going to be interesting to see what the Giants do at the quarterback position. Obviously, have Daniel Jones on that fresh contract they gave him last year, but he was hurt all last season. And on top of that, there's been ongoing rumors and speculation that the Giants have been trying to trade in to the top three of April's NFL draft to get one of those three guys, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May, who are all speculated to be going top three. More across the NFL after I signed off last night. News for the Pats. Josh Uche re-signs with the Patriots on a one-year deal. Uche not going anywhere, staying with the Patriots. I love that for the Patriots. Uche has been really, really, really good. So I'm happy to see him back. Dealt with some injuries last year. Coming back healthy. And good to see him be a part of Jerod Mayo's new tenure in New England. Kenny Moore, cornerback for the Indianapolis Colts, who had a great year last year, 93 combined sacks, 3 interceptions. He is staying in Indy. He agreed to a 3-year, $30 million contract. Lavonte David. While the Buccaneers lost Shaq Barrett, they retained Lavonte David, another veteran linebacker. He is staying in Tampa Bay. He gets a 1-year deal worth $10 million. He had a total of 134 tackles last year. One of the bigger free agents on the market, Danielle Hunter, coming off a great year with the Minnesota Vikings. He had 16.5 sacks last year. Well, he's headed to Houston. And D'Amico Ryans gets a big-name defensive end in Danielle Hunter, pairing him up with Will Anderson on that defense. A good role model for Will Anderson. I didn't even think about that. A good veteran leader for Will Anderson to kind of learn off of, who's already coming off a Rookie of the Year season. But Danielle Hunter signed with the Houston Texans on a 2-year, $49 million contract. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who last season played with the Lions, but before that was with Philadelphia. Well, he's headed back to Philly. He gets a 3-year, $33 million contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. So spent just 1 year with Detroit, where he was injured, actually, for a good bit of that. He is headed back to Philadelphia. Former Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Willie Gay has signed with the New Orleans Saints on a 1-year, $5 million contract. Kansas City was just so strapped with cash, you kind of had to assume that they'd have to let some people go in free agency. And unfortunately, Willie Gay, a cap casualty for them, as he has signed with the New Orleans Saints on a 1-year, $5 million deal. Austin Hooper, the veteran tight end, has signed with our New England Patriots on a 1-year, $4 million contract. Last year, he was with the Las Vegas Raiders. He will likely be the backup to Hunter Henry. Again, a good veteran guy to have in the locker room. Another solid move by the Patriots. Not a huge splash, but also not a move that you're committing a whole lot of money to. Speaking of the Patriots, they also signed linebacker Anfernee Jennings. They gave him a total of 3 years, $12 million contracts. Jennings last year had 66 total tackles and 1.5 sacks, so he is staying in New England. Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf really doing a good job of retaining those guys on defense. There were some good defensive free agents for the Patriots. Obviously, Uche, Kyle Duggar, Anfernee Jennings, they've done a good job retaining, and that's tough to do when you have such a big turnaround, not only in your front office, but also in your coaching staff. So good news all around so far for the New England Patriots. Speaking of linebackers, though, a veteran here, Eric Kendricks. Last year spent time with the Chargers, had 117 total tackles. A veteran linebacker, spent a good bit of his career in Minnesota. He is headed to the San Francisco 49ers. And on top of that, San Francisco just announced, literally a second ago, announced that defensive lineman Eric Armstead has officially been released. So freeing up some cap space, they get a veteran in Eric Kendricks headed to the 49ers. But as I mentioned, Eric Armstead has proved to be kind of a cap casualty. He is no longer in San Francisco. As we kind of get down to it, the free agents really are going fast. This has not been like the MLB. NFL, nothing like the MLB in that we are like, what, a week away from the MLB regular season start? And yet the NL Cy Young from last year, Blake Snell, still has not been signed. That is not the case here in the NFL. Players going off the board very, very quickly. Obviously, we added Mike Williams to the free agent class, Eric Armstead as well. Calvin Ridley has been a big talk right now. Calvin Ridley, it seems like it's coming down to the New England Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars, as I reported yesterday. He would prefer to go back to Jacksonville, but Jacksonville just paid a good bit of money to Gabe Davis, as I mentioned. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Patriots certainly being linked to a guy like T. Higgins as well, who has requested a trade from the 49ers. There's been rumors that Brandon Ayuk with the San Francisco, T. Higgins with Cincinnati, Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers, not happy with his role within that organization. So still a lot of things that could go down here in the NFL offseason. As I mentioned, the new league year has officially begun. That was at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. So we've seen a good bit of news, a lot of releases here. The big release, Mike Williams. You also had the Raiders releasing Hunter Renfro and Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think that really came as much of a shock to a lot of people. Jimmy G, kind of with an undetermined future, as it is a very wide-open quarterback market. Justin Fields, again, no sort of buzz around Justin Fields, which seems really strange. It does. It seems really strange. And on top of that, you still have a lot of other guys like Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, veterans in the league that now hit a very big free agent quarterback market. So still a lot of moves left in the NFL. I will keep you updated on all of them as I have tried to do all week, keeping you updated in somewhat of an organized fashion. But all in all, as we kind of bring it back close to home here, so far, I'm impressed with what the Patriots have done. They have not overpaid at all. That's been a big one that we've seen across the NFL where you're looking at some of these contracts saying, man, it kind of seems like they overpaid. That has not been the case so far with the New England Patriots. So if you're a Pats fan, that's the good news. That's certainly the bright side right now that the Patriots, so far, I really do believe have done a good job in not overpaying for some of these big name guys. I think there's certainly guys that they did miss out on that we see go to a different team and that the Pats possibly missed out on. I wanted them to take a look at Patrick Queen. Obviously, he gets a big contract from Pittsburgh, but kind of reviewing what's gone down in New England. As for releases, they obviously got rid of Devontae Parker, who now lands in Philly. They get rid of Lawrence Guy, J.C. Jackson, and Adrian Phillips, all cap casualties. Transition tagged Kyle Duggar. Signed Okafor, a good tackle from Pittsburgh. Re-signed Hunter Henry. Re-signed Kendrick Bourne. Bring in Antonio Gibson. Re-signed Mike Inouye. That was a big one. That was the biggest contract that we've seen. Good tackle for whichever quarterback is behind center this year. Signed Jacoby Brissett. Love to have him as a backup. Taki Taki comes over from Cleveland, a good linebacker. Jalen Reagor, likely in the bottom of the barrel of your wide receivers, but they only give him a one-year, $1 million deal, so I'm cool with that. And then bringing back Uche, Anfernee Jennings, and then, of course, Austin Hooper. No huge deals, no huge splashes, but all in all, I do like what the Patriots are doing. It seems like this rebuild, as of right now, certainly trending in the right direction. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here, going to come back, and we're going to talk a little basketball, some baseball as well. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Coastal Foot and Ankle. Dr. Jonathan Saborn is a local foot and ankle specialist with offices in Middletown and Fall River. We are dedicated to caring for all of your foot and ankle issues. Dr. Saborn will diagnose and treat conditions of the foot or ankle, whether it's hammer toes, ingrown toenails, bunions, we've got you covered. Dr. Saborn is a board-certified podiatric surgeon who is a leader in foot and ankle surgery, not only on Aquidneck Island, but throughout Rhode Island and Massachusetts. He does it all with the assistance from his knowledgeable and friendly staff. Give us a call today to schedule an appointment to address your foot health issues. We want our patients to feel heard, cared for, and in good health. Coastal Foot and Ankle will treat you like family because that's what you are, part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family. Call our locally owned and operated podiatric medical facility located at 850 Aquidneck Avenue in the back of the Middletown Commons Plaza, or give us a call to schedule an appointment at 849-2157 and be part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh! Hold on, just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
In this festive time of year, you know that Seth and the crew will come through with a vast array of timely values at Fifth Ward Liquor. Stop by and see for yourself. Discover Bailey's Irish Cream at $27.99, Jameson 750s at $35.99, and Powers Irish Rye 175s at $39.99. Fifth Ward's stocked with the finest in Irish whiskeys. Proper 12 Irish whiskey is $29.99. Green Spot's in stock, as is Middleton Very Rare and Jameson 18 Year. And here's another great value. Jameson Orange Spritz in four packs, just $13.99. You know you can depend on Fifth Ward Liquor for their tried and true trio, selection, service, and savings. Fifth Ward Liquor, 695 Lois Thames, 847-4545.
The fun starts quicker with Fifth Ward Liquor. You better take the fifth.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Midtown Oyster Bar, your number one choice for the freshest seafood and the largest raw bar in town. Perfect for casual snacks and cocktails or a formal dining experience. Steps away, the Surf Club offers cozy comfort anchored by their brick oven pizza and handcrafted cocktails. Midtown Oyster Bar, 345 Thames, the Surf Club, 337 Thames. Two exceptional Newport waterfront experiences. Check out MidtownOyster.com.
Take WADK to work for the talk of the town with Bruce Newberry. Bruce talks with local newsmakers, local celebrities, and you. Weekday mornings from 9 to noon, WADK.
All right, back here on The Big Ticket, talking a little hoop, keeping you updated with some of these injuries as we wind down the NBA season, getting closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. A team that will be in the NBA playoffs, the Minnesota Timberwolves. All-star center Karl-Anthony Towns underwent surgery to repair a lateral meniscus tear in his left knee yesterday. They basically said that he's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. And they're hoping 4 weeks from now is April 9th. That would be the 4 weeks, which would be the last week of the regular season. So he is expected back early in the Western Conference playoffs. That's huge for Minnesota. They struggled a bit, although a big win last night over the Clippers. But big news for Karl-Anthony Towns and Minnesota as the playoffs right around the corner. As for those Los Angeles Clippers, Kawhi Leonard last night left Crypto Arena in the first half against those Minnesota Timberwolves after back spasms. He is considered day-to-day. Right now, it doesn't seem very, very serious, but that is an injury we saw LeBron James deal with back when he was with Cleveland that really had him seem miss some time. So keep an eye on that. Obviously, Kawhi has a long injury history. So he left last night in a back-to-back. That's worth noting. They were playing in a back-to-back, so really kind of seems like they're just making sure he's staying healthy. But worth noting, Kawhi Leonard did end up leaving that game. As for players returning, OG Anunoby back with the New York Knicks in a 106-79 win over the Philadelphia 76ers. He had 14 points in his return. We hadn't seen OG Anunoby in quite some time since January, but he is back due to an elbow injury back in the lineup against the 76ers last night, and he is a starter for that Knicks squad. As for Steph Curry is back with the team. Steph is hoping to rejoin the team some point this weekend. He has resumed on-court workouts after spraining his ankle last week. They have not ruled him out for Friday, but he is back. He's going to join them for their little California swing when they take on Los Angeles. But we'll have to see. Steph Curry has missed about a week due to that ankle injury. They're hoping to have him back, possibly, best case scenario, by this weekend. As for your reigning MVP, Joel Embiid, it was reported by Ramona Shelbourne of ESPN, that Embiid is not anywhere close to returning. She said, the hope is that they have him in Philly, so he can be in the mix to return in the last week or so of the season, at least where he has a chance to get back to some conditioning before the playoffs. So that is best case scenario, to have him back kind of in that similar time period as Karl-Anthony Towns in that last week of the season. But that's not even for sure. And it could be right around when the NBA playoffs start to kick off. And that's certainly worth noting, because there is a legitimate and very serious possibility that Philadelphia may not be in that top six. So they would be in a play-in scenario. And not to have Joel Embiid back for a play-in scenario could be tough for Philadelphia. They could be in a situation where they could be at risk of missing the playoffs altogether, as right now they sit in seventh in the Eastern Conference. As I mentioned, you have about five teams from New York to Miami that are all within about 2.5 games of one another in the Eastern Conference as it sits right now, with about less than 20 games to go here. Boston, 4 weeks, less than 20 games. Boston, of course, sits in first place. They have a big old 9.5 game lead for first place. No one's even close. Again, I've done this a few times on the show. To put that in perspective, Milwaukee sits in second place. They're 9.5 games back. So that is the gap from first to second place. Oklahoma City and Denver right now sit tied for first place in Western Conference. The Lakers, who are in ninth place, sit 9.5 games behind them. That's the gap from 1 through 9 in the Western Conference, whereas it's the gap of 1 through 2 in the Eastern Conference. That's how good these Boston Celtics have been after another good win last night on a back-to-back in Utah, where at one point in the second half, they went on a 20-0 run where it looked like they could have given that game away in the first half. Really barreled down. Jason Tatum with a great game, had 30-plus points, and they have now won 3 in a row on a tough little road trip there. Milwaukee, as I mentioned, 9.5 games back. But Cleveland, within striking distance, they're in third place, 10 games back, but just a half game behind Milwaukee for second place. Then there's a little bit of a gap. New York sits in fourth. This is where we get into those teams that are all separated by just 2.5 games. New York sits in fourth, but they're just a game up on Orlando, who sits in fifth. They're just a game and a half up on Indianapolis, who sits in sixth. They're two games up on Philadelphia, who sits in seventh, and 2.5 games up on the Miami Heat, who sit in eighth. So much for, by the way, my Jimmy Butler saying, oh, this is the time of year that we turn it on, this and that. They've now lost three in a row, so worth noting. As for after that, a big dip, then you get to Chicago and Atlanta rounding out those two last play-in teams. As for the Western Conference, as I mentioned, Oklahoma City and Denver sit 1-2. Minnesota's been dethroned. They've been the top team in the Western Conference for basically all year. That Carl Anthony Towns injury certainly does not help, but they're still a half game behind Denver and Oklahoma City. Then in fourth, you have the Clippers, who sit 3.5 games back, three games behind Minnesota. New Orleans sits in fifth. They've been playing some really, really good basketball. They've won four in a row. New Orleans sits 5.5 games back, but just two games behind the Clippers for fourth place. New Orleans in a position where they could end up getting a home court advantage if they keep playing this style of ball, overtaking the Clippers. And finally, in that sixth spot is Phoenix. But Sacramento is just a half game out from Phoenix. Dallas is one game out from Phoenix. And then the Lakers, 2.5 games out. Golden State, 3.5 games out from that sixth seed that Phoenix currently holds. Between Golden State and Houston, there's a bit of a drop. It's a four-and-a-half-game separation there. So Houston certainly has some ground to make up. They've won three in a row if they want to get into that play-in tournament. But right now, that last spot in the play-in tournament does belong to the Golden State Warriors. As for a little news quickly around the MLB, I briefly talked a little bit about Gerrit Cole yesterday. Well, it has officially been announced that Gerrit Cole is set to miss at least 1 to 2 months with an elbow injury. So at first, yesterday, I reported that he's going to miss opening day. That was all it really was. There wasn't any more. It didn't seem any more serious than that. But now Cole has officially been shut down, and he is set to miss 1 to 2 months with that elbow injury. Not great. So bad news for the New York Yankees. As I mentioned, Judge also dealing with a lingering injury as well. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here, going to come back, and we're going to wrap up the show with the bold takes. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
You can hear the sounds of Irish music Sundays on AM 1540, FM 101.1, or online at WADK.com. I'm Rick Kelly. Join me Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. or Sunday evenings at 6 for the Irish Hour, a WADK tradition for over 30 years.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.
Are you looking to grow your business, establish valuable professional relationships, meet industry subject matter experts, and market your services and products? If so, the North Kingstown Chamber of Commerce can help you as we support and promote more than 400 businesses throughout South County, Rhode Island. Our members represent every industry, large and small, old and new, from home-based businesses just starting out to large businesses such as ones located in Quonset. We provide targeted networking opportunities, unique events, and business strong seminars with highly engaged groups of professionals that will help you and your business succeed and grow. In addition, we offer great benefits such as free job postings, townwide gift certificate referral program, bulk mail discounts, and more. Call the Chamber today at 401-295-5566 to learn more about how we can help you and your business succeed and grow.
Here's another healthy tip from Newport Hospital. The Norman Prince Spine Institute at Newport Hospital treats spine disorders that are some of the most complex issues within the human body. At the initial consultation, a physician will conduct a targeted evaluation to determine the source of your pain. Then, go about formulating a plan to resolve it. Go to goodback.org for more information.
Brought to you by Newport Hospital.
Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan. Since 1989, Corrigan Financial has been serving our community, helping families and businesses establish and design a comprehensive financial framework. Corrigan Financial's professional staff, made up of multiple certified accounting, financial, and investment professionals, manages over $1 billion in assets. Corrigan Financial maximizes their clients' financial well-being by combining tax planning with investment strategy. So whether you're starting your career or looking forward to retirement, Corrigan Financial can help. Arrange your free consultation to discuss your financial needs and their financial planning process. 35 years of helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be.
Get the latest news 24/7 at WADK.com. 1540 WADK. WADK.
All right, back here on The Big Ticket, our final segment. So it's time for the Bold Takes, where I take a player, a team, and a stance. My first player tonight is Philadelphia Eagles guard. Actually, well, now that I'm kind of looking at it, this is unprecedented by me. My first three players tonight are all Philadelphia athletes. If you listen to the show, you know that this is probably the first and last time that this will happen. My first player tonight is Landon Dickerson, Philadelphia Eagles guard, who just got paid. He got an $80 million deal, and he was at his press conference today, and one of the reporters asked him, what's the first thing you're going to buy? And Dickerson kind of just shrugged it off, and he said, I don't know, I may go buy a new lawnmower. And this is why I love offensive linemen. They're the best. They're just average Joes like you and me. And on top of that, he did follow up, and he posted an aerial view of his property, which is a big old piece of land. I mentioned somewhere like in the forest areas, like suburbs of Philadelphia. And he commented and he said, you thought I was kidding. And it was an aerial view of his home that was, I mean, the lawn looks incredible. Like he could do MLB fields if he wasn't, he could be part of the grounds crew for some of these professional sports teams if he wasn't a great offensive guard. But he posted the aerial view of his property and you can tell He did. He takes his lawn seriously, and it looks great. You gotta love it, but it's hilarious. You know, like, a lineman, not a flashy guy, not a guy that's gonna go spend all his money on a new car or some jewelry or anything like that. He's like, yeah, I'm probably just gonna go get a new lawnmower, you know, make sure my lawn looks good. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I've mentioned this before on the show. This is why we need an offensive lineman award. We need, like, the MVP of offense. I've said it a million times on this show. We need to get an offensive lineman award. The NFL, what are you doing? These are the most unappreciated guys in the NFL. His former teammate on top of that, Jason Kelce, on his podcast, saw the signing of Saquon Barkley, and he had the comment. He said, this is what I'm regretting. I knew when I retired that I was going to miss just an outstanding season for the Philadelphia Eagles, and it sucks. I want to be a part of this so bad. You already have Jason Kelce regretting his decision because he saw Saquon Barkley sign with the Eagles, and he's like, man, I would love to block for that guy. I would love to be the lead blocker for that guy. That's why I love offensive linemen, man. They just want to live a normal life and just block a bunch of guys. You know, I love it. And Landon Dickerson, my first player tonight. His teammate, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We talked a little bit about him. My second player tonight, because as I mentioned, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, often referred to as C.D. Deuce, is returning to Philadelphia after spending 1 year with the Detroit Lions. He's headed back to Philly. Well, let's not forget what C.J. Gardner-Johnson said on a live stream. He was live streaming himself playing Fortnite. And he said on that stream, when someone asked him what your least favorite thing about Philadelphia was, he said, "My least favorite thing about Philadelphia is the people. They're effing obnoxious. I can't stand the effers." He said that, and now he's going back to Philadelphia. If you watch any sports, you know that Philadelphia has some of the craziest fans in all of professional sports. And I already can tell you, CJ, if you start to play bad, if you don't play up to that contract expectation, you are going to hear it from those Philly fans, man. You might have to do, like, once you get to Philly for that opening press conference, you might have to have, like, a situation where, I don't know, you set up, like, a kiosk or something, a table in downtown Philly, and just hand out, like, free beers or free Philly cheesesteaks, just to kind of get in the good graces of Philadelphia fans again, because they're not going to forget that quote. That quote will live forever, my man. And I know it was harmless. You were just thought you were playing some Fortnite. You didn't think anybody was listening. But let me tell you, pal, it's 2024. Someone is always listening and someone is always recording. So CJ Gardner-Johnson, it might at first be a rough homecoming. But again, you know, just hand out some free stuff or something like that. Do something. That would be my recommendation. Do something to get back in the good graces of Philadelphia fans. Like free Philly cheesesteaks. Go to a bar and buy the whole bar around. Something like that. CJ Gardner-Johnson, my second player tonight. My third player tonight, as I mentioned, top three players tonight are all Philadelphia athletes. My third player tonight is Nick Castellanos. Nick Castellanos was talking about baseball players in their careers. And he had an interesting take, but he's not necessarily wrong. He just kind of put it kind of weird. He said, "There's a lot of baseball players that are like milk. Milk is only good when it's fresh. And then you leave it out a while and it spoils. There are some other baseball players that are like wine. Those are the only two kinds. You're either like milk or you're like wine. There's no in the middle." Basically saying there's some baseball players that at first when they get into the league, they're great. They're awesome. And then pitchers start to figure them out. Or if you're a pitcher, you know, hitters start to figure you out. You don't keep bettering yourself. You just get worse. And then you kind of fizzle out of the league. We see that all the time. We see that all the time. I mean, I can't think of examples off the top of my hand, but a guy like, perfect, Javier Baez. Javier Baez at the start of his career was one of the best shortstop in the MLB. Flash forward a couple of years now, he's with Detroit, and he's awful. He is some of the worst looking strikeouts that you'll ever see. Some of the like pitches he swings at, it's like, dude, that wasn't even a strike when the pitcher even released it from his hand, let alone when it got to the plate. But there are players like he's talking about, like Nick Castellanos at the start of his career. There was a lot of hype around him when he was with Detroit, I believe. He wasn't all that great. Then he goes to Cincinnati, has that breakout year. He's gone to Philadelphia, gets a new contract, and has got only better and better. You see that all the time across the MLB where it's not necessarily like other sports. You can have guys that hit 30 years old, and rather than start to decline, they're sitting there like, all right, I've got this league figured out. I know what I have to do in the offseason to prepare. I know what my film sessions need to be like. I know what I'm looking for now. I figured out this league a little bit, and they go on to have great careers into their 30s. So I agree with Nick Castellanos. It was a very weird way to put it. But he has been a quote machine for the past few years, and I love it. Nick Castellanos, my third player tonight. My fourth player tonight is Wagner basketball players, because Wagner made the NCAA tournament after last night. They ended up winning the NEC championship. They won that conference, so they will get a bid for the March Madness. And worth noting that Wagner had just 7 players for that conference championship game. Yeah, they were the number 6 seeded team on the year. They're 15-15. They ended up beating number 2 Merrimack, who was 21-11 on the year. They were 13-3 in conference play. And Wagner went on the wild card to win the NEC conference. So they'll get a bid to the March Madness. They had just 7 players. 7 players. They only had 2 players available on their bench for that conference championship game. On top of that, I was reading that at one point this year, Wagner had to take from their football team and use their starting quarterback. They used their starting quarterback off the bench this season for him. That's how limited they were for their players. Listen, I mean, those players are probably tight. Like, you can say, like, oh, they don't have enough players, this and that. But those seven guys who are on that roster probably have some pretty good chemistry. It's pretty funny, though. Like, how do you run practices? What do you just do, 3-on-3? Like, with one man being the fourth or something like that? You can't even run a full practice. I'm sure they'll add players to that roster for the tournament. It'd be pretty embarrassing if they didn't. But Wagner basketball players, you gotta love March Madness when you hear Cinderella stories like this. They had just seven players for their conference championship game and still ended up winning that game. You gotta love it. Just two players coming off the bench. I'm rooting for you, Wagner. They'll likely be like a 16 seed. But hey, again, I'm rooting for him. Wagner basketball players, my fourth player tonight. My fifth player tonight is Mike Gorman. Mike Gorman in his final year as the Celtics play-by-play guy. A historic career. I love Mike Gorman. One of the best in the business. So good at what he does. But he went on 98.5 today, Boston Sports Hub, and just kind of absolutely ripped Grant Williams. Like, ripped them to shreds, man. He went on like a 3-minute rant talking about Grant Williams. He said he was annoying to everybody. He's not good enough to have teams keep him despite that. He was a bad locker room guy, basically saying that Grant Williams was just annoying to be around. He was always trying to pick little fights here and there. And we heard reports about this in Dallas as well. That apparently was a big reason why Dallas traded him, because he was just annoying to be around. He was a pest. And there was a recent story from, I believe, Michael Finley, former NBA player, who was at a Mavericks practice where basically, apparently, Grant Williams got on Luka Doncic's nerves. And Luka Doncic, in that practice, went up on a 26-0 run, basically by himself, scoring all those points on Grant Williams. So there's something to be said, like, oh, maybe he pushes the star players to be better. He gets on their nerves. So, you know, you get the best out of the star players. And then there's the other side of it that Mike Gorman's saying where, yeah, no, he's just really annoying to be around. Like, everything about Grant Williams since he's left Boston has not been great. Like, all the reports and whatnot have not been glowing for Grant Williams. And Mike Gorman, a well-respected guy in this business, went on like a 3-minute rant talking about, yeah, no, he was not fun to be around. So Mike Gorman, my fifth player tonight. My sixth and final player tonight is Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr believes the Warriors could make a deep playoff run. As I mentioned, the Warriors right now sit in 10th in the Western Conference. They would be in the play-in tournament. On top of that, they're going to have to play some pretty good teams in the play-in tournament. The team above them, the Lakers, had a pretty good success last year in the Western Conference playoffs. On top of that, they could be potentially matched up against teams like Dallas, Sacramento right now in the mix, maybe Phoenix as well. Steve Kerr said in an interview, "I feel really strongly that our team is primed if we can really stay healthy down the stretch. If we get Steph back, I feel like we can make a really good run." I mean, obviously he has to say this. Like, he's not going to go on a radio hit and be like, yeah, I don't know, we'll be lucky if we make it out of the play-in tournament. But on the other side of that, he's also coached four different teams that have won championships, four different Warrior teams that have won championships. So he knows what it takes to win a championship. And I'm telling you right now, this Warriors team does not have what it takes to win a championship. Even if you get Steph Curry back, which ankle injuries, sprained ankles tend to linger. Even if you get him back, what's your second scoring option? What is it? Like, where do the points come from if it's not Steph Curry? Klay Thompson all year long, I mean, he's been better off the bench, but he's not having a great year. He's not what he used to be. Jonathan Kuminga at times has looked really, really good, and then other times he just disappears down the stretch. Andrew Wiggins has been a shell of himself all season long. Chris Paul and Draymond Green are not dependable whatsoever. They have a bunch of guys way past their prime. For you to actually say, yeah, this is a team that can make a deep run, especially when you look at the Western Conference landscape and you have teams that are, on top of being really good, also very young. Like, the Oklahoma City Thunder are a young fast, really good team. Minnesota, kind of the same thing. Sacramento, New Orleans, kind of the same thing. Come the playoffs, you're not going to be able to keep up with these teams with the current roster that you have. It's just not happening. I'd be willing to bet the bank account on that. A wild take from Steve Kerr. And again, I understand he's got to say it. He's got to have confidence in his guys. But yeah, I don't know, Steve. I don't think that's a take that's going to age well. That was my final player tonight. I am worth noting a story that usually would be on this final segment. I am leaving off. I'm staying away from the Aroldis Chapman story tonight. It's just too weird for me to hit on. Again, that's all I'll really talk about. But if you haven't seen it, just go Google Aroldis Chapman, the former Yankees closer. He posted something on Instagram, his story last night that, I kind of am at a loss for words for it. So again, it was too weird for me to hit on in this segment. So I'm going to stay away from it. If you're listening right now and you're wondering and you're curious, again, if you just Google Aroldis Chapman, I'm sure it will be the first thing that pops up because a very weird thing that he posted last night. With that being said, that's that. Let's get into my teams tonight. PC tonight in the Big East tournament. Before I get into that, shout out to my man Devin Carter, who won Big East Player of the Year, averaging around 21 points per game, 9 rebounds. Just all in all, a great year for Devin Carter. Once Bryce Hopkins went down, Devin Carter, there were games where he just willed that Providence team to wins. Everybody kind of wrote PC off once Bryce Hopkins went down. Devin Carter was sensational all year long. So credit to him. Shout out to him. Devin Carter, congratulations on winning Big East Player of the Year. But with that being said, tonight, we have round 3 of Providence versus Georgetown in the first round of the Big East conference tournament. I'm going with PC. You already know it's a big spread, 9.5-point spread. Obviously, Georgetown has been really bad all year, but I don't care. I don't care that it's a big spread. I'm taking PC minus 9.5. Knock him out. Let's go. This is round 3 against Ed Cooley. Knock him out. Make him feel terrible about that decision to head to Georgetown. Let's go. I need to see it. PC minus 9.5 tonight. Listen, I don't think the chances of them getting into the March Madness are all that great. And if they do, they'll be very low. But this has to be the championship game here. This is the one that PC fans get up for. Just embarrass Ed Cooley tonight. I'm going PC minus 9.5. In some NBA action on ESPN tonight, the early game. We actually have an NBA finals rematch from last year. In Miami, the Heat taking on the Denver Nuggets. I know I kind of bashed the Heat in the previous segment, but I'm actually going to take the Heat tonight at plus 3.5. I just think this is a big Eric Spoelstra game where Eric Spoelstra got bested in the regular season this year against Mike Malone and got bested last year in the finals against Mike Malone. I want to see Eric Spoelstra draw something up and get his team a big win at home tonight. I'm taking the Heat plus 3.5 on ESPN. That's the early game. The late game on ESPN tonight from Sacramento, the Kings. 3.5-point underdogs against the Los Angeles Lakers on ESPN. I didn't really understand this line. I believe that Sacramento is the better team. They've been better all year. And yet they're at home and underdogs to a team in the Lakers who I think are worse. I mean, I know they've played decent ball of late, but I'll take the Kings in this one. I don't really understand this line at all. I'll take Sacramento plus 3.5 at home, the late game on ESPN. So to lock that parlay up, I'm taking Providence College minus 9.5, the Miami Heat plus 3.5, and the Sacramento Kings also plus 3.5. Lock that parlay in, get yourself some walking around money, and support those local businesses. All right, my stance tonight, there's been an ongoing rumor and narrative that there could be a possibility of Justin Jefferson being traded to the Bengals in return for T. Higgins and 2 first-round picks, kind of reuniting that 2019 LSU offense in Cincinnati, pairing up Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Ja'Marr Chase also had some cryptic tweets alluding to that possibility. I love this idea. It would be crazy, and it would be a Cincinnati team that could really kind of rival Kansas City in the AFC. That would be such a crazy duo of Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson back with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. That would be so fun to watch. I'm all here for it. My second stance tonight is if the Miami Marlins are a contender this year, come playoff time, they're going to have a huge home field advantage. The Marlins announced that they will allow flags, drums, and all musical instruments into games at Lone Depot Park this season. They're trying to emulate basically baseball in the Dominican and Dominican Republic and Venezuela and kind of those Caribbean countries down, you know, down south, that basically a baseball game down there, if you've seen like a Dominican Republic baseball game, it is loud. Those fans are going crazy. Baseball is like a religion. And obviously in Miami, they probably have the most Spanish population compared to any other team in the MLB. They're trying to bring that kind of vibe into Miami where it's just crazy drums banging like you would have in like a Dominican Republic ballpark. I love this idea. I love kind of catering to the Spanish population in Miami. And again, if Miami has a contender, that's going to be a really tough home field advantage when you're trying to pitch through or hit through drums banging, then playing crazy instruments, flags flying, like you see in those kind of Spanish countries, baseball fields down in the Caribbean countries like the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela. If the Marlins can kind of emulate that kind of culture and that kind of environment at their ballpark, I think that's a really big home field advantage. Obviously, it's a tall task, but we'll have to see. My final stance tonight is just kind of a salute to Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter, best in the business, always the first to report these big NFL signings, or at least one of the first to report these big NFL signings for ESPN. As I mentioned, one of the best in the business. He, on a recent set yesterday, revealed what his screen time looks like. And it says his screen time during free agency this past week, on a daily basis, he averaged being on his phone 17 hours and 23 minutes. That does not leave a whole lot of time for relaxation, for sleep, for eating, for things like that. My man Adam Schefter is always, always got his finger on the pulse of what is going on across the NFL. And thank you for your service, Schefty, because people like me, you make my job easier in reporting what's going on in free agency. And that's on top of that. That was screen time on one of his phones. He has like three different phones as well. So my man is just always constantly working. So shout out to Adam Schefter, best in the business. Thank you for your service. With that being said, that is going to do it for me here in the studio. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Same time as always. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. You've been listening to The Big Ticket with Teddy Horn on 101.1 FM, AM 1540, and WADK.com. Have yourself a phenomenal night.
AM, WADK Newport, powered by VD Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Tiverton. WADK, the voice of Newport.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and federal prosecutors have charged three men with firearm counts related to last month's shooting at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade.
In two criminal complaints unsealed, three men are charged not with firing weapons in the shooting, but with gun trafficking linked to weapons recovery.